We are
live.
What's up, everybody? Tucker and the Beard are back. I had to switch modes there for a second.
I know, it's like
rolling from one podcast to another podcast to another podcast.
Cryptocurrency.
No, my brain is thoroughly cooked from that.
If you're here for cryptocurrency,
go back to the other video. But before you go there, stay here for just a little while and listen to us. Talk about a movie that we saw.
For a little bit.
Just for a little while.
A little while.
I hope everyone's having a fantastic day.
And you're staying warm.
Yeah, it's chilly here in beautiful Prescott, Arizona. We are preparing for the impending snowpocalypse.
Snowmageddon.
That might be coming.
Yes. May or may not be coming.
And
be ready for if it does. But
yeah. Well, the way I've been putting it is if we get half of what they say we're going to get, it's going to be a pretty big storm.
Yeah,
I think currently, you know, they were saying something in the neighborhood of, you know, in Prescott proper, like 18 to 27 inches of snow or some nonsense.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's
ridiculous.
It's a lot of snow. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
We'll be out.
That's not what we're here to. We're not here to talk about the weather.
We are not here.
We're here to talk about fighting robots.
crazy
fighting robots.
Crazy fighting robots.
So
we should put this thing that we're going to go see another movie, and timing wise and the showings did not line up with our schedule.
Also, I mean,
no, but it was there. We were going to go see it. We were going to go see what's it called?
Isn't it romantic?
Isn't it romantic?
Yeah. Tucker and the Beard. We're going to go see a rom-com together.
A rom-com.
Not for the first time. Listen. It is not that we are opposed to going to see a rom-com together.
No, that's
done it before. We'll do it again.
So disclaimer: we had intentions of going seeing this rom-com and giving our opinion on that one. But
and I love me some Rebel Wilson. So yeah. It was just timing.
Looks funny. Just timing wise, didn't work out.
And also before we jump into this review, I feel like we should let the people know.
Let him
what's out. Coming up for the next 2 weeks?
Yes.
So let's rewind the clock.
The conversation, so to speak. And please give your input on it.
Yeah. So Captain Marvel is being released on March 8th.
Correct.
And we are very excited.
Super.
I'm super excited.
No, I'm very excited. My daughter, my wife are excited, and it's really cool because it'll be the first female-led
Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Correct. So they're really, really excited, so I'm excited to go take them. It's a big deal.
But shortly after Captain Marvel is released, which we will review.
Yes.
Please believe.
Yes, we will review Captain Marvel. But then after that,
Avengers Endgame comes out.
Yes.
And so what we thought would be a fun little thing to do is we're going to take 2 weeks. There have been 20 films thus far.
Yeah, I was going to say.
There have been 20 films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. No, that's not counting Netflix originals. That's not counting, you know, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that were on network television. Just the films, and we know that they are important. The TV shows do.
We will
kind of factor into that, and we might bring that a little bit in. But primarily, what we want to do is, if you're not fully caught up, which it's hard to be caught up.
Yeah, it's very. I've had conversations with people regularly about because they know. Of us being the nerds that
we're nerds. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I own it.
Tell us.
But I have a lot of people coming up and being like, oh, I'm only here in the lineup. And I'm like, you got a long way to go.
You got a journey ahead of you, son. Yeah. But we're going to break down those 20 movies, and we're going to lay out the timelines. We're going to lay out the story thus far.
Get you caught up.
But, you know, your time is valuable. Our time is valuable. So we're going to break that up into two separate episodes.
Because if we did it all in one, it would never end, and you wouldn't want to watch it anyway. You'd check out really early into it. So in fairness to us and to you, we'll break it down into two separate segments.
Yeah, and it's going to be really fun, but we wanted to get Well, we were trying to do some non-comic book related films.
Which is why we were going to go see the Isn't It Romantic? And timing wise, it didn't work out. It just did not work out. We didn't have enough time to.
So we went and saw Alita.
Battle Angel.
Which is not mainstream comic book related.
No.
But it is a manga graphic novel.
Anime, correct.
So.
Which that's all I knew.
Yeah.
I had no backstory of what this was supposed to be, which was probably beneficial.
Full disclosure, I have watched precisely zero manga in my entire life.
Yeah, I'm not a big manga. I'm nothing against it. It's just never been my
It's not my jam. Thing. I don't listen to country music and I don't watch manga.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's not my cup of tea.
It's not your cup of tea. So,
but, yeah, I digress. So I didn't know. Also, I didn't have any backstory.
When we first saw the trailer for this movie, we both looked at him and was like, "What? Ever?"
Yeah,
I have no desire to see this movie.
Yeah, it was.
But then I saw this. You know what it was for me? It was the second trailer. I was like, maybe.
It got a maybe vote from you?
Well, and, James Cameron being on the production staff, it's going to be
right.
A visual feast.
Well, but the two trailers came out in the same time, and I got them confused with each other.
You thought this one was that other piece of crap that we watched together.
Mortal
Engines.
Mortal Engines of, flying cities.
Yeah,
and
cities on wheels.
Yeah, exactly. So I got them kind of confused. So I think we were even watching a movie together, and it was the trailer, and it was actually for Alita when I thought it was for this Mortal Engines, and I probably was like that loud guy in the theater, and I'm like, oh my God, what is this garbage? What is this garbage? And, I have.
Turns out you were wrong.
Yeah, two separate movies. So this is in anime, manga, comic book that had happened of a...
And I thought
I'm still confused about this, so you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
Like, not full robot?
No, a cyborg.
Yeah, but like 99% robot.
Well, yeah. I mean, but just like DJ Cyborg, there's still humanity.
Well, DJ Cyborg is an actual person, so...
Well, DJ Cyborg is an actual person, right. But... DJ Cyborg doesn't have all human parts.
True. That is true.
Okay.
But
shout out to DJ Cyborg. He does the original music for our other content. Yeah. And
people don't believe that he exists. He does.
He does exist. He writes all of our music. It's fantastic.
Yeah. That was my only one of my weird things about this movie. I shouldn't say my only thing because
there were a few.
I'm going to say about 20 more by the time this is done, but that was my only, because there was some love story stuff in there.
We asked.
That makes you pause and think, but I was kind of like.
We had to ask hard questions by the end of the movie.
So she was a cyborg. Okay.
She was a cyborg.
So it's about.
Part human, part machine.
Yeah. It takes place in the future.
Like a $6 million man.
Yeah.
The year 2543.
Yeah. It was like takes place in the distant future. After
the fall.
The fall,
which is major intergalactic war.
That they don't really talk about, but it's something serious.
I think that was more of like an Easter egg for the true fans.
Right. I'm sure.
The people who really
right.
know it and have been involved, who dug on it in the past.
Right.
And so.
No, I think it was all. Yeah, it was a little reference. I didn't need to know it was referenced enough that it was a great.
They actually. And, so again, bringing it back to comparing it to the Mortal Engines, which the biggest problem that movie had was they didn't explain any of the backstory.
Right. I thought the same thing when I watched that.
Yeah. And so it was, they could have done a better job explaining the backstory in that movie, but they did a really good job in this one.
Right. Because, it was this, he was some robot doctor guy that found this cyborg body who turns out to be Alita in a junk pile from the city in the sky and rebuilds her. And she's actually a secret 300-year-old
cyborg
battle robot.
Battle bot.
Yeah. Is there to, yeah. A lot of questions. I have a lot of questions at the end and throughout. But for having no expectations of this
Zero
movie,
expectations.
And it's not that I was, like, dragged into it.
No, it was this time of year isn't great for going to the movies.
Right.
Okay.
It's
not.
Okay.
Okay. It's not a good time to go to the movies. So what?
It's a little limited because it's about to blow up. You know, the movies that are coming out are going to be huge.
Disney is going hard in the yard this year. Between the MCU, their remakes, their reboots.
I can't get hard in the yard out of my head.
I'm sorry. But,
I was like, I'm trying to listen to you, but all I hear is hard in the yard.
You heard me say hard in the yard first. Hard in the yard. what do we got? At least three MCU films coming out.
Yeah, they're
from Disney. So, I mean, in case you didn't know, Disney owns Marvel Studios. Yeah. So we've got three MCU films coming out this year. We've got two, if not three, live action remakes of Disney classics. I know we have Aladdin. No, we have three. Yeah, we have Aladdin. We have Dumbo, and I think there's a third one, like, The Lion King.
The little bit that I want to go see Dumbo, I want to see Aladdin even less.
I was in until I saw Will Smith as the genie.
That little blue avatar creature.
Ooh.
Stop it. Yeah, just stop it.
But they have...
There's a lot
they're going
out.
They're going hard.
And
this
Disney
year.
Is... They're,
and
they're
then
moving
Frozen 2 is coming out
some
later
chess
in
pieces.
The year.
Yeah, Disney's got some chess pieces that they're moving around.
Well,
they just canceled...
bought everything. They canceled everything from Netflix. They're launching their own streaming service.
Yeah, I was just about to say
it's
that.
They're
canceling all the Marvel shows on Netflix, I'm guessing, to bring them to their own streaming service. But back to Alita of the Fighting
the
Cyborg.
Robot and Cyborg Angel.
It's got some emotional pieces, but can we start off by discussing the CGI, the special effects? So far in technology of being able to make non-human, you know, they had human actors that were doing it, a lot of well-known, and we'll kind of get into it, but making them look not human. They were all cyborgs or 99% robots.
So I want to start off by saying, first of all, I've never heard of Rosa Salazar.
She was actually in Bird Box.
Was she?
She was.
Didn't remember.
You watched it three times. I watched it once.
Now we know. But I will say that she was fantastic.
I would like to see some kind of thing of how much stuff she actually did, because there's so many like acrobatic.
It was all CGI. And I'm sure there was a lot of wire work being done.
Yeah.
In front of green screens and, you know, with the little tennis balls taped to the black outfit that you see in the motion capture stuff.
Some kind of weird helmets.
But
right.
I personally thought that she was fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, and I mean, looking at her picture, you can see some resemblance between her and the Alita
character. You know, they gave her the anime eye.
Right, which is a nice
treatment.
Touch.
You know, again,
nice touch.
There was a few throwbacks in the movie that were a nod to, hey, remember, this was manga.
Yeah.
But without throwing it in your face, which I really appreciated, because it made me very interested in trying to seek out other content related to this character.
Yeah.
If nothing else, I'm interested in finding that graphic novel.
Right.
I'm interested in finding, you know, if there's other...
Some more story to it.
Some more story to it, because... It was a good story.
Yeah, it was a really good story. I think, and we'll get to it towards the end when we get to kind of the wrap-up thing of it. Because I have a differing sort of opinion than you do, but that's okay. We'll get to it. But really, really cool action. I mean, the story was neat, and I'm guessing that they were going back to, you know, referring to things that were in the comic that weren't in the movie, but... I mean, if they did, the movie would have been crazy long.
Yeah, well, and I think regardless of whatever backstory exists, the movie stood just fine because of the flashbacks that they provided.
Right, and I think that it'll be really cool. I hope it opens a door for more movies like this where they're able to... Like, at a certain point, you don't know... You kind of check out at the fact that, hey, that's CGI.
Like, no, they did such a good job that even though you know it's... You know, you walk in going, this is going to be a CGI fest.
Right, it's going to be ridiculous.
But... And then, you know, the first few scenes of the movie go on, maybe the first 20 minutes... And you're truly in awe of the CGI that's happening.
Well, because it's this, you know, apocalyptic city with, you know, a floating city above it. And you're like, yeah, seems legit. Yeah.
But after that first, that initial awe of you knowing as a film going person, you know, just somebody who enjoys movies in general. Knowing that this is all CGI, but it's really great CGI, your brain starts to turn off that part of itself where it's like, it doesn't matter that it's CGI because it looks that good.
Yeah. Well, and it was just the CGI, but the actors that we got into.
And it was actually well written.
No, very well written, but I know I kept on being like, hey, that's that dude.
Yeah.
Hey, that's that dude. But even more than you.
Barely recognizable.
Yeah, there was a guy, what's his name? The guy from, I was like, that's the guy from Fast and Furious and Olympus Has Fallen. I like to reference that movie as much as possible.
I hate it.
Rick Yoon.
Yeah, Rick Yoon, who was in The Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, Uno.
OG.
The remake of Point Break. That's fine.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just saying.
Dirty tramp.
No. But it was, yeah. So, and he was in, well, Olympus Has Fallen, and also in, I'm going to say The World Is
Nobody
Not Enough.
Nobody cares about Olympus Has Fallen.
Everyone should care about that movie.
You're the only one who still cares about that movie.
Watch it.
I have.
You're probably one of those White House Down kind of guys.
Nope, that was garbage too. Weren't those the same movie?
They were not.
Yes, they were.
They were two separate movies.
Okay. I'll believe you.
One of them had the Shining. Hi, Shayla. That was a reference for you.
One of them had the Shining. One of them didn't. So
one had Gerard Butler.
Which,
anyways,
arguably,
I could have a whole, conversation right now about Olympus Has Fallen, but no, nobody wants that except for me.
Yeah, please, let's don't.
Yeah.
Am I the only one who noticed that for some reason... Christopher Waltz can't look happy ever. He looks mad all the time.
And I'm going to point out the first thing when there was a certain storyline of Christoph Waltz, who was the doctor that found her and brought her back to life. He runs into his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Played by...
Jennifer Connelly.
Played by Jennifer Connelly. And I was like, Zach Morris, timeout. Hold on.
He did.
I was like, wait.
This guy talks during movies.
For stuff like that,
yeah.
I was like, stop it. Christoph Waltz cannot be like, oh, here's my ex-wife, Jennifer Connelly. And we're going to say it realistic. But you brought it back around for me.
And have you seen Our Wives?
Exactly. And I was like, point made. Like,
there we go.
Yeah.
So.
But it was still one of those things where I'm like, I didn't buy them as a couple. Listen,
dreams do come true.
There's some actresses and stuff that you can, that they go. My wife and I talk about it all the time of like Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
She pretty much put her up against anybody, that coffee maker, and I buy it as them as a romantic couple. Like she's got that kind of.
She's more girl next door.
And so I'm like, okay, you. If I go, okay, top 10 like movie couples, like whatever, that I'm like, oh, they paired them together. Yeah, I buy them. They do not.
Yeah, I kind of get Christoph Waltz with more of a Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, like a. yeah, that was like a good one. Or, you know, like Diane Keaton.
Yeah, that would work.
You know, I was like, I totally buy that.
Yeah.
Jennifer Connelly? No. I'm like, she's the love interest in Top Gun 2, Maverick. That was my one. You know, she's Tom Cruise's love interest, and that even
I so hope for your sake that movie isn't terrible.
I
really do.
Listen,
because
it's been a long time.
It has the ability to be just god awful.
But I did bring up, and we won't go too much into it because I did bring it up with you earlier, of, listen, we're getting sequels to a lot of movies that, you know, from our childhood, from my childhood, that I, like, hold a very, very special place in my heart, that Hollywood is seeing that and going, hey, let's make reboots.
Let's ruin this.
Don't make reboots. But they were going to make a reboot of one of these said movies and decided to... Instead,
it's like the only franchise that can keep rebooting is Spider-Man.
But they should stop. They should, like...
Really? We'll talk about that later, but... Yeah.
That and Batman. Just give it a rest for a little bit.
Yeah, give it a break, but don't stop.
Right. But the one that they're making a sequel to, Big Trouble in Little China. Yes.
The sequel that we never knew we wanted in the first place.
It was so 80s cheesy...
Yeah.
Movie.
It's like, are they going to make an Escape from New York sequel?
They've made a couple. Escape from L.A.? Well, I shouldn't say a couple. They made Escape from L.A.
Yeah, I guess I forgot about that. I knew it existed, but, you know, it was just that stupid.
Well, put Kurt Russell in anything and I'm in.
Fair enough.
Computer wore tennis shoes, too. I'm there. Oh, okay, maybe not, but I'm just saying, okay. Like, maybe that's a stretch.
But let's go back to the Battle Angel.
Battle Angel. Let's talk about Battle Angel.
So, first of all, I'm a sucker for any post-apocalyptic movie.
Yeah.
They
did it well.
That is my jam.
Yeah, they did it really, really well. The city looked lived in, and, you know, because it had been 300 years since
the
fall, which... Now thinking of this movie, because that's Alita was made before the fall in lost technology.
Yeah.
But she was going to hunt down the Nova guy 300 years ago.
Yeah. She kept on that mission eventually.
So he is.
Well, he claimed to be immortal.
I'm guessing so now. I was just like, hey, he's some guy that you see 5 seconds of and your jaw's going to hit the floor and go, really?
Didn't he even get credited?
Do we spoil that one?
No. Okay.
Let everybody.
Listen, there's an actor in this movie that got no credit. Literally was not in the credits.
Yeah. He was doing the director and the producer a big favor.
Yeah.
Like, they came to his...
All I have to say is that James Cameron might have some dirt on this actor.
And, like, James Cameron came to this actor's kid's birthday party and was like, you owe me.
Made an appearance.
You owe me. And you're not going to get credit for it.
Yeah.
And literally is uncredited.
Either that or, listen, the fact of the matter is they're... Almost certainly will be a sequel to this movie.
If it does,
I think they're setting it up for financially. If it does okay, there's gonna be another one.
I think it's one of those ones.
I'm gonna pull up the box office numbers right now.
It's one of those movies that they do that has like all these storylines that they want to make, you know, a universe for and continue it, you know, in sequels. But it's right in that line of,
now,
is
listen,
it going to do
be
well 10 enough?
Years from now when, you know, like the Avatar sequel that we didn't ask for.
No one asked
certainly
for.
Don't deserve, because I feel like it's going to be a punishment.
Live action Fern Gully. Tell me I'm wrong.
You're not.
Okay. It's a remake of Fern Gully, like Fast and Furious was a remake of Point Break.
Stop it.
But no, this was, but spotting actors throughout it, from Jennifer Connelly to Christoph Waltz to, I'm going to murder that one guy's name, Mahershala Ali. He's in Green Book and.
Yeah, he's basically, he's a solid replacement for Wesley Snipes if you can't get him.
Well, we could go down the Wesley Snipes rabbit hole, but we're not going to. But he's been making
a
really good name
for himself.
And I don't
mean that in a derogatory way, by the way. It's just he seems to be...
It reminds you of.
He seems to be taking on the same roles that Wesley Snipes would be taking if he was still actually acting.
That is awesome that Jackie Earl Haley was the one big guy. The
big giant. Again, but can you tell?
But no. you know who that is.
No.
He's known for like Bad News Bears, but he was also Rorschach in Watchmen. He's been in RoboCop. He's been like a lot of
He's been in all things. The things.
Lots of things. But that's what stuff I'm talking about. Like even now I'm going, oh, that was that person? But one of the main robot cyborg guys I pointed out, I was like,
well, in this future world, I feel like we should point out that most people, it seemed, had some sort of cybernetic enhancement or replacement.
Right.
You know,
a lot
so
of stuff's been happening.
Yeah. You know, listen, the year is 2543.
Right.
Well, advancements have been made.
And I think without kind of going sideways on it, but there was a lot of society where you belong.
Yes. And the haves and have-nots were very well-defined and very well-separated.
And even consider we were, what you because the floating city was the golden city, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody.
You're not allowed
That's
there.
A good life up there. Everybody yeah. down here has
meh.
Lower, you know, yeah. life, and everybody down here wants to be up yeah. there. But
you're not allowed.
And we don't.
We don't know why.
But
we know that we're not allowed.
Yeah, we weren't allowed either.
So they kind of, I think they did a good job of making you feel like you're grouped in with this quote-unquote lower class of people.
Right, and everybody wants, you have to be invited up there.
Well, really, the only, what we, you know, you can't get there.
No, there's only one.
There's one way.
One way, and
we're not going to tell you how.
That's one way.
There's one way.
One way.
You have to see the movie to find out.
Well, contest. You win a contest and you get whatever. But the movie, because we're talking about it getting a sequel and everything, it just kind of ends.
It does.
It just stops. And my own
the sequel's not looking good.
So I said,
I'm going to say that right now.
This is, I haven't looked at the reviews, but it's got to be mixed. It's got to be a mixed bag.
Well, so when I pulled the Rotten Tomatoes score, it had a pretty low critic score,
mm-hmm.
but a pretty horrible, no, not horrible, but a pretty high audience score, which was one of the reasons why I was like, hey, maybe we should check this out, because I kind of like to be that middle ground. You know, I like to be, you know, for the people. I like to be that.
The voice.
That says, hey, forget what the critics have to say. Let's talk about what the movie really was.
Right.
So currently, the domestic total has been $42,250,332.
How much?
With a foreign at $94.8 million.
Okay.
But we're talking about a budget of $170 million, which to me seems conservative. And right now we've got opening box office weekend that didn't meet production.
Because
that does not include marketing costs.
The special effects and everything. It's got to cost some money.
It's got the James Cameron touch to it.
Right.
You know, he didn't direct it, but he was the EP on it.
Right. Robert Rodriguez did.
That's executive producer.
Yeah.
In case EP. People don't know.
Robert Rodriguez directed it, which, I mean, he's Spy Kids fame. I mean, sorry, I had to go there first. But
Spy Kids.
From Dusk Till Dawn and Sin City and so on and so forth.
He's done a lot of... I loved Sin City.
Yeah.
The first one. The second one?
El Mariachi, Desperado.
Planet Terror. I mean, he's done some really cool movies, but they were much lower budget.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has got to be up there for his biggest
budget.
This
might be the biggest budget he's ever had to work with. But James Cameron, in the producer's chair, you know...
He's got Titanic money. He's like, whatever.
And again, up until very recently, Avatar was the highest grossing film of all time.
Right.
I don't know why.
I don't get it.
It was stupid.
Yeah, I hate that movie. I saw it once.
But there we have it.
And I swear. I watched that movie and I was like, I've seen this before. And it took me a while. And I'm like,
oh,
this is Ferngully.
Yeah.
Like, to a T. And he's like, this is a fresh idea. No.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
We see you.
Yeah.
I was like, Cameron.
Down to fighting a giant tractor.
Yeah.
It was Ferngully. Yeah.
No, and so for me, my eyes don't work properly. I would have enjoyed it even more had we seen it in 3D. But because of the condition of my eyes, 3D glasses just don't work for me. You know, and you've got your own issues, but I know for me, it's not even worth.
No. No, and
paying the extra to go see a 3D movie because I have to take off my glasses, which means I can't see.
Right, and it takes a specific movie for me to have to.
Well, this one was made for
it.
This one, like Avatar, was made for 3D.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine. Avatar in 3D, and what I could actually see visually, it was impressive. The story was stupid, and I hated it. But
it looked cool.
Right.
This one, there would have been some really, really cool scenes in 3D.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not going to argue that fact that, you know, kind of going back to it, I'm like, oh, that scene would have been cool. Oh, that scene would have been cool. But
there's quite a few where I'm just like, oh, I was, as we were watching, I'm like, oh, in 3D, that would have been dope.
Yeah. My big thing is that if it goes on for so long, and I think I told you afterwards that I was like,
I think they could
have. This had a Return of the Kings where there was like five different times they could have ended it.
No,
and you
this
go,
one just
oh,
had
it's going to
two
wrap
endings.
Up.
This one had two endings.
I'm not saying exactly five endings, but there was numerous.
Yeah, there was two times where I was. Know. There was the like, actual ending, but then there was a time where I'm like, hey, if it ends right now, I'm fully satisfied with what they did because they're setting it up for a sequel.
Right.
I could tell that.
But then it kept going for another half hour.
Yeah.
And you're like.
You get to that moment in the movie where you think it's going to be over.
Right.
And then it's not, so you check your watch and you go, oh, man. Yeah. There's another 20 minutes left of this thing.
Yeah.
According to the runtime.
Right.
And it's not okay.
Yeah. It was just one
of those. Stop doing it.
It was one of those things where I was like, oh, my God. Like, is this going to be over soon? Yeah. Not because it was bad, but. Yeah.
What?
So. Not that it was a bad movie or anything like that.
Not at all.
That it was just one of those things. I'm like, I wish it would have ended. I would have preferred the first ending prior to the actual ending.
I would have been happier were it 20 to 25 minutes shorter.
Right. It was just, and so that was, you know, kind of one of my things of just kind of going, oh my God, okay. What?
Whatever. Come on.
Yeah, just either. Die or
yeah, kill, I would have been very like I said.
I don't know
that when that first point where I'm like, oh,
it's gonna wrap up,
it's gonna end right now.
Yeah,
and you thought it was gonna end too.
Oh yeah,
for reasons that I will not disclose currently. But
oh, I thought yeah, I
you thought it was over.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
and I know both of our phones had been blown up pretty much the whole movie.
Yeah,
and you thought the movie was over, and you had to take a phone call.
Yeah.
Outside of the theater. He's not a savage, people.
No.
And I was like...
No,
I
got
it. There going, I was like, oh. And then it kept going. And I was like, I hope he wraps his call up so we can see the actual ending of the movie.
Yeah, I was right.
But it was still, you know...
A good 15 minutes after
we both thought it was going to be over. We both thought it was going to be over right then. So I understand why you would have...
Yeah. I wrapped it... Yeah.
Taken the phone call because, oh, the movie's over. Now the credits are going to roll in 5 seconds.
Yeah. It was like, I got a message. And I was like, hey, I'll be done soon.
Yeah.
It was another
20, 25 minutes after that.
Okay. So that was
should have wrapped up.
Yeah, my big thing, but then it left it off at a big cliffhanger, but it just kind of stopped. And you're like, oh, okay. Right before revealing the villain's face.
Yeah, and if you're going to do it like that, then end it 20 minutes sooner.
I would have been in. Yeah. And just been like, okay, cool.
Speaking of wrapping things up when they need to get wrapped up.
So I think this is going to be a difference of opinion, but I'll explain mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm saying rent it. Because it was one of those good movie, have nothing against it, but it was one of those ones of getting done and go, okay, was that worth stopping what I'm doing or whatever, you know, and going and making a special trip to the movie theater to see this movie. And it was one of those ones where I'm like, I can't genuinely say that, you know, for everything, still very, very good movie, but my vote's for Rent.
And
not quite stream it, but yeah, rent it. It's a rental. But I get your point.
My point and my opinion is to go see it. And here's why. It's not that it's so monumental of a film that you must go see it. However, the effects, both practical and digital, in this film are so good.
Very good.
That whatever you, with very few exceptions, whatever you have at home won't do it justice.
Right.
And you won't appreciate that part of it as much as we got to.
Right.
So that's why my vote is to go see it. And it's okay to split the decision.
Right. Yeah. It was like, I'm still saying see it.
Yeah.
But
I think you should see this movie.
Right.
I personally think...
I do see your point of seeing it.
I might have a completely different opinion of this movie had I seen it at home.
Right.
Versus seeing it in the theater.
I probably would have rented it and been like, okay.
Yeah,
that seems like, about right.
Eh,
yeah.
It was okay.
Very good movie.
Empire West.
You're just throwing that one out there.
It's not the first time.
No. But very, very good movie. Glad I saw it.
Good story,
issues.
Good writing.
Awesome.
I love the way that they actually tied in some of that comic book phrasing into it, you know, where we're the uninitiated people who aren't really familiar with comics.
Right.
Because there's a whole subset of
the
people.
Dialogue.
There's a whole subset of people who their only real exposure to comic books is comic book movies.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
We welcome you. Yeah. We love you.
And I would just say,
but the people who have actually read comics will pick up on that and go, oh, that's not bad writing. That's just comic book writing.
It's just comic book
and
lingo.
So I thought they did a really great job of touching in on that throughout the film.
And I'd like to hear if somebody is familiar with manga and the story.
Yeah, that would
and
be awesome.
How?
Because I'm not.
How it, you know, compares. You know, I'd like to hear it and see how it compares. Because I mean, for me, that doesn't. It was really good.
Yeah.
So, cool. Anyways,
well, that wraps it up.
Yeah.
If you really like the big special effects and you need to see that kind of thing on a big screen, go see it. If that's not a thing for you, then rent it. But I think it's a good movie to watch. Enjoy your time. It won't feel wasted.
Yeah, it's worth seeing. So,
cool. Anyways. All right. Well, we're going to go prepare for Snowpocalypse.
Yes.
And
yeah.
Until next time, he's Tucker.
He's the Beard.
And we're out.
See you later.